Good morning. Glad to see everybody out this morning. Got a glitch in the system, so hopefully I can draw this out. Andrew's not here yet. He's got phone service. However, turn to 522, M522. I'll get to hear me sing at least. You're a visitor among us. We're indeed grateful that you are here. River Ridge Church, Christ, worship in spirit and truth. We have several that's going to be out of town, obviously for spring break. So you are definitely an honored guest today. We still have a full house, as far as that goes. Some announcements from this morning. Those that are on the sick list, not feeling well, or have health issues, let's remember Brother Warren and his health issues. He still not as heard yet when that surgery is on base, so keep him in my prayers as far as that. Mary Gaynor is not feeling well at home. Be at home. Laurie, my wife, she's going to the arthritis doctor, and she don't want y'all to know that. In a couple more weeks, trying to figure out what's going on, okay? She's kind of a quiet person, don't want that out, so such as it is. Her ongoing health issues, they've eliminated quite a bit, so this is about the last doctor, hopefully, that they can figure it out. And, of course, with my granddaughter, Tabitha. She is growing. Last I heard, it was like 4 pounds, 11 ounces, and growing like a weed, so we helped that. Yeah, Andrew has showed up. I'm off the hook. All right. Those that are out of town, bear with me. I think I got everybody, but I probably have missed a few. We got the Collins family out of town. I think they had a death of a friend down in Chattanooga. Kevin and Samantha are out. Mark, Ellen, and Hannah are out of town. And starting today or Monday, Courtney, Mark, and their family will be out of town until next Sunday, as far as that goes. If I miss anybody, let me know after services. We'll get it announced tonight. Wednesday night invitation will be TJ. This morning's worship service, the following brethren will have participating in that. Brother Daniel will have the opening prayer. Brother Tim and Brother Dave will have the communion this morning. Brother Andrew will be the song leader, and he will make that selection when he gets here. Brother Chuck will have a lesson this morning, and Brother Warren will have the closing prayer at the end of services. A couple other announcements. Tonight, we can leave everything where they're at. Okay, spring break. We don't have to gather it all up, and that way we'll be ready for Wednesday night services. And also, Brother Jared Jacobs, who is the preacher down at Caneyville, has made it over to Africa for a couple of weeks, and from what we've been told that preaching the word, that it is spreading, and they are having some response off of that. So that is a good situation, and you think, well, that's pretty good, but the country he's in is a Muslim country.
Yes.
And the radical Muslims, if they can catch wind of the movement like that, they can definitely persecute those that are preaching the word. So he is still in danger. So keep him in your prayers. Any other announcements, let me know. Announcement this afternoon. Brother Andrew.
Number 708. Number 708. Called Walking in Sunlight. In our other song books, we may know this song as Heavenly Sunlight. So still the same song. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and God. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight,
is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Before prayer, let's go to number 72. Number 72. Beyond the sunset.
Beyond the sunset, oh blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun.
Attention this morning to what's been prepared for us, that we can learn from it, Father, that we can come out of this place at the end of this service stronger than when we came here. But we're thankful for the many positive things that are happening in this congregation, the new members we've had over the last months, the people we've been able to reach out to. We're encouraged by the response in this community, Father. There's people who want to learn more about your word and your son and what was done for us here on this earth. We pray, Lord, that these things can continue to develop, that we can continue to receive opportunities, and that we'll all be bold enough to be able to seize upon them, that we can continue to do well here in your sight. But we pray, Father, this morning that everything that we say and do is in accordance with that word, that we're able to point to the scriptures, that we can have a good reasoning for all that we all that takes place, and that if there is something that we are in error about, that someone will be bold enough to point it out to us, and that we'll be receptive to that, so that we can continue to become better in your sight and stronger in this faith. We pray, Father, for those who are not able to be with us this morning. We do have several members who are out sick with doctors and things like that. We pray that some portion of health might be restored to each of them, if it is your will, that they'll be able to join with us in the future, that they can continue in the work here. Likewise, Father, we do have some members who are away from us traveling. We pray that likewise they'll have safe travels, they'll be able to get to their journey, their destinations without problem, and that likewise they can return to us here, that they can continue to meet with us. We pray, Father, for those who have fallen away from the faith, those who have turned their back on it, and those who are having doubts or struggles. We pray, Father, that something might be said or done to them that might touch their hearts, that they would want to be restored to you, so that they could be able to be counted as among your children again. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with all of us in this hour, that you'll be with our elders and deacons as they continue to execute on that which has been left to them, the work that, they're supposed to be able to handle. We'll continue to look to you in prayer, Father, that we can all grow in faith, that we can grow in love for one another and for you as well. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
To continue to help prepare our minds before partaking the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 621. Number 621. And at this time, I would like to have, make a small note, I'd like to have this song where we sing all four verses before jumping into the chorus. So we'll sing all four verses and then we'll sing the chorus to finish it. 10,000 angels.
They found the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets and shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he to blame.
The song that we just sang gives a very vivid picture of what
the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and the agony, the death that he died on the cross. We talked this morning about the early Christians, and we see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged this message until midnight. On the first day of the week, when they gathered together to break bread, was the Lord's Supper, referring to here. So on the first day of the week, we remember Christ's sacrifice and the death that he died. This morning, when I picked up my phone and I turned it on, I had a message. A lot of you probably have this YouVersion, the version of a Bible. And there was a message on there that said, "Begin a plan in anticipation of Resurrection Sunday. Easter is almost here. Next Sunday, March 31st, join believers all over the world as together we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It is so important to engage with God's Word every day, especially during the last day we have before Resurrection Sunday. Consider trying one of these great plans to draw your heart into a posture of gratitude and worship for what Christ's sacrifice means in our lives." Once a year. So the world looks as next Sunday equal to what we do every Sunday. Every Sunday we meet here in gratitude of what Jesus did for us. I can't imagine just taking one day out of the year to remember what Christ did for me. I mean, that's just how different that we are from the world. And let's think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that we might do this every Lord's Day and remember the sacrifice that he made for us and the death that he died on the cross, that we might have an opportunity for eternal life in heaven. We don't want to do that just once a year. We're going to do that every Lord's Day, and today we want to do that now. Would you bow with us? Our Father, our God in heaven, our Maker, and our Creator, we're so blessed and thankful that you've allowed us this day that we might come here to worship you. It's at this time, Father, we ask your blessing on this bread that helps us to reflect back on the body of Jesus, that he gave his life on the cross for us, that we might have eternal life in heaven. He died an excruciating death, Father, and we know he loved us so much that he still went to the cross, even though he could have kept from doing that by calling 10,000 angels, as we just sang about, Father. We know without his undying love for us, we wouldn't have that opportunity for eternal life in heaven. And we pray that you'll help us this morning. We unite in our thoughts to remember him, that we could be thankful for the plan of salvation you have for us and that his dying on the cross that cleanses us of our sins. Father, we ask that you be with us this morning as we unite in observing this memorial. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. thank for the fruit of the vine. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for our Lord and Savior and through the suffering and pain and agony that he went through on our behalf. And his love that he showed for us, dear Father, is why we come together to remember his death. You tell us, dear Father, in your word, when we're supposed to do it and how often. And it's our love that we show to him, dear Father, for what he's done for us. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood for us, may we do so in a manner pleasing unto thee and in accordance to thy will, and forgive us of one of our sins. In Jesus' dear name, amen. Amen.
That concludes the Lord's Supper. As a separate act of worship, we have the opportunity now to give back to the Lord as we have purposed in our hearts. We had a good discussion this morning in our Bible class about the heart and not giving of just what's left over, but having planned ahead of time what we should be giving now. And the needs that go on at this congregation, the needs that there are in the community for us to preach to the lost. So let's bow at this time while I offer thanks for the offering. Father and our God, we're thankful that you've blessed us with the health that we can go out to earn a living, and if we earn that living, we gain monies that we can now give back to you, Father. We pray that you help us to be good stewards of what's offered today, Father, that we can reach the lost and take care of the needs of this congregation, that your word might be spread. Father, we pray that you'll help us have a cheerful heart and have that right attitude always when we give back to you, because this is rightfully yours to begin with, Father. We ask all these things now in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Word of Chuck's lesson. Let's turn to number 798. Number 798. Yield not to temptation. And if you are able, let's please stand as we sing the song.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, He'll carry through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry through. Shun evil companions, bad languages take. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, He'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry you through. To Him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, He'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, He will carry you through.
Be seated. Mark in your songbooks number 783, number 783.
Man, it tickles my heart to look out when I know there's about 15 or 16 of our own not here and the place being full. We're glad you're here. We have a lot of visitors. We're glad you've taken time to be with us today. We hope we make you feel welcome and to come back at every opportunity. And tonight you get a break from me. It's the fourth Sunday of the month, and so one of our men usually speak in the evening, and so Mark happens to be preaching tonight. And it's one of those rare months where we all also have a five-Sunday month, and Lord willing, next Sunday evening will be our singing, so different men will have a chance to get up and lead songs and develop their abilities in that area. All right, I want you to open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Tim didn't really steal my thunder, although he was going in the direction I was going today. And let me just start off by reading verse 12. Now, we're going to be coming back to this chapter from time to time this morning. I'm not going to say it's my, quote, Easter sermon, because stay tuned to something interesting at the end of the lesson. But last year I remember talking about it because there's all the hype that comes up this time of year. Well, I thought I'd do things in the reverse this year and talk about, well, verse 12. He says, now if Christ is preached that he has not risen from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? What I want to talk about this morning is basically looking at what would it mean if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead. You know, when people want to overemphasize something, we don't want to underemphasize it. You know, it's kind of like when we talk about the birth of Jesus. Was he born on December 25th? The Bible doesn't say he was born on December 25th. Does that mean we don't talk about the birth of Jesus? No, the birth of Jesus is very important. Okay.
And we talk about the resurrection. Yeah, the Lord wants us to come around and remember the death of Jesus every first day of the week, as Tim pointed out from those passages. But you know, the resurrection of Jesus is very important. And so the four or five points we're going to look at today, is what would it mean? Let's just say Jesus did not resurrect from the dead. Everybody knows he was crucified. You can read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the latter chapters of those books. You go to Luke 23, Matthew 27. You can see where Jesus was crucified. But let's just say when they buried him that he never resurrected. What would that mean? And that's really what the context of this is all about, that some are preaching that Christ hasn't resurrected from the dead. And so let's just look at some of the ramifications of that. And the biggest one, we'll go to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at a few verses. Here's what it would mean if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not resurrect from the dead. All right, Acts chapter 2, first look at verse 24. During the sermon that Peter and the apostles were preaching, he said, "Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Look at verse 32, same chapter. "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." Look at the third chapter, verse 15. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of whom we are all witnesses." And one more passage will suffice, chapter 3, verse 26. "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquity." So we have passage after passage telling us where people are preaching the resurrection of Jesus. And if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, then that means they've lied and the scriptures are not true. The Bible's not valid. It invalidates the Bible. You find something in here that's not true, and you guys have heard me preach on that many times on various subjects, talking about if you can find an error in here, it destroys the validity of it. You say, "Well, no, Chuck, what if there's some stuff that's right, but you found out there's something in here that's wrong?" Well, if there's something in here that's wrong, then it destroys all of it, because the credibility is lost. That's why they do that in our judicial system. If you're called to be a witness, they're going to find out sometime in your life where you've lied, so now they can tell the jury, "Now how do we know he's telling the truth here?" You see, if they could just find that flaw. And what we're saying, folks, is that no, Jesus didn't resurrect. Jesus did resurrect. What if he didn't? Well, then they would be liars. And that's actually what it went on to say there in the in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, Paul actually had to come out and say that, well, then we're false witnesses, we're liars, because we read in those verses there in Acts, we're witnesses. Were there witnesses? Look at chapter 1. Look at chapter 1 of Acts. First part of the chapter, it says in verse 1. "The former account I made, both the office of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And what I love about that, because it validates it all. It just said he didn't resurrect and boom, he was gone, and nobody saw it. He was on the earth for 40 days. People witnessed it. He resurrected. And then he ascended back into heaven. Okay? So that's an obvious one. It's an important one. And we just tell people that that's why we rest our faith on this. Faith comes by hearing God's word. If you find one error in here, we got a problem. And that's why we say there isn't any. There isn't any. It's all true. And that's why we evaluate everything and making sure that we have authority for everything that we do. Okay. Well, obviously, if Jesus didn't resurrect, this wouldn't be truthful. But secondly, thinking this through, and I want you to turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then he's not living. Right? He lived. He died. That's it.
no resurrection, then he's not alive. He died. Well, what's so important about that? Well, look what we have here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's pick it up in verse 20. Here's what he says. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one is in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and he puts an end to all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Now, folks, when you have Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, where Jesus is the head of the church, Jesus is ruling and reigning. He's sitting at the right hand of God. If he doesn't resurrect, he's not reigning. He's dead. He's not ruling. So there's no authority. This church, this local church that belongs to Jesus. Remember, Jesus, I'm going to build my church. Matthew 16, 18. It's not my church. It's not the church's church. It's Christ. It belongs to him. We don't make the rules. Ah, but you know, if there's no resurrection, we get to make the rules. And what I find interesting is people who want to talk so much about the resurrection once a year, they're making their own rules. And they miss the whole point. He resurrected to reign, to rule. Matthew 28, verse 18, he has all authority. So that's not something he scoffed at. That's why we tell people, oh, you don't believe in the resurrection. Oh, yeah, we preach the resurrection already. Because I'll tell you, if there's no resurrection, he didn't live. Or he doesn't live. And he's not ruling. And he's not reigning. But he's over his kingdom. Folks, he's our king. Colossians 1:13, we're in his kingdom. Okay? And you can't be in a kingdom that doesn't have a king. And it's the spiritual body, of course. And that's why we have this mediator. We can go into that aspect of it. He is our mediator between the Father today. But I tell you what, if he doesn't resurrect, he's not alive. And we are so thankful that he is. And, you know, Hebrews 13, verse 8 is one of those passages you need to underline in your Bibles. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Well, yesterday, yeah, before he was alive. Today? Yes, very much so. And that's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, since we're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's note yet another important point. If Jesus didn't resurrect, if he was just like you and me, see, we're normal in the sense that when we die, okay, we're not resurrecting 3 days later. If Jesus comes back and we're raised from the dead, okay, fine, that's the second coming of Jesus. That's another story. That's another subject. But the point is, Jesus is different than you and I. Now, if Jesus doesn't resurrect, here's another ramification. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15. I read this a moment ago. If Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Well, that makes sense. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, which I mentioned earlier, and your faith is also vain. See, because if our preaching is wrong, and you believe our preaching, then you're in the wrong. See, that makes sense. I love the logic. Paul is really good at using logic. And he's just basically saying, you know, if there's no resurrection, and we preach there's a resurrection, then we're wrong. And if you believe us, then that makes you wrong too. Which is really great, because how many times do we always say that? Don't become a follower of man. Follow the truth. And he's trying to make that point. Now look at verse 15. Yes, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. That's what he's saying. He's following that logic. If the dead do not rise. Now, if the dead, he says, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. Here it is. And you're still in your sins. Well, that's huge. You know, we always talk about the death of Jesus. And the death of Jesus is important. The shedding of his blood is important. You know, you can turn over to Matthew 26, verse 28. And I was going to paraphrase it, but I want to make sure I get it right. Matthew 26:28, he says, Jesus says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." That's when he instituted the Lord's Supper. The bread representing his body, the fruit of the vine represents his blood. It's just a memorial feast, folks. It's not a supper in the sense where we're gonna fill up on it. If you skip breakfast, we got the Lord's Supper. No, it's not a meal, but it's a memorial. And we have these emblems there that to help us to think about his body that was broken on the cross and his blood that was shed for us. And that's what he's talking about here. And did you notice in verse 28, it says, this blood was shed for many for the remission of sins. So he shed his blood for the remission of sins, right? Okay, what's that got to do with the resurrection? Well, Paul made the point in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if there's no resurrection, you're still in your sins. He said, well, wait a second here, Jack. He shed his blood for the remission of sins.
Right.
So why the resurrection? Why the necessity of the resurrection? Why did they come back and say, well, you're still in your sins? Well, because of a couple of things. Follow this, folks. It's very important. Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. Yes, he shed his blood so that we get the remission of sins. He paid the price. He paid our penalty. We're all sinners. There's nobody here perfect.
Oh, Chuck, there's a lot of Christians in here.
Yeah.
So what? Doesn't mean they're perfect. There's not a perfect person here.
We all sin and come short of the glory of God. And if you say you don't have any sin, I know it seems like I know it all, but 1 John says you're a liar. If I said I have no sin, I'm a liar. We all sin. None of us here are perfect. We're striving for it, but we're not. And hopefully we're getting stronger as time goes by. But now let's make this connection now, because I know it causes some people to scratch their head and say, wait a minute, I get the death aspect, but I'm not understanding the resurrection. What if Jesus didn't resurrect? Well, he still shed his blood, didn't he?
Yes.
But you need to understand this. Ephesians chapter 1 says this in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Did you get that? All the spiritual blessings are found in Jesus. Okay? Now, go to Romans chapter 6. I've read this passage before, but I've not made this particular point. Romans chapter 6, in connection with the resurrection. Now, in Romans chapter 6, he tells us in verse 3, when he said, do you not know that as many of us that were baptized in Christ Jesus here, it says, you were baptized into his death. Baptized into Christ is what it said there in verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3 said, all the blessings are found in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, the forgiveness of sin is found in Christ. How do you get into Christ? You need to be baptized into Christ. Chuck, you've just gone on a tangent. You just wanted to preach baptism. I thought we were talking about the resurrection. What's your point? We haven't stopped reading. Look at Romans chapter 6. He said in verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Here it is. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. If we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Folks, how good is your baptism? You know, you just grab Keith there. Let's just say, Keith, you know, when you're getting baptized, I get Keith, and I get him underwater, and I just keep him there. You know, well, man, I'm baptizing you, man. I'm burying you. The Bible says I got to bury you. I'm burying you. You know, he's kicking, he's splashing, all of a sudden the life goes up. But it's not a baptism. Yeah, you can preach the death of Jesus. That's not talking about it. It's the death and resurrection. So you're buried with Christ, and you rise up in newness of life. How could you rise up in newness of life? Just like Christ was raised. But wait a minute, what if he wasn't raised? You can't be like him. You're still in your sins. He said you put off the old man, which is the next verse, you put off the old man and you put on the new man. Let me just tell you that. Let me just read this. Verse 6. Knowing this, our old man was what? It was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. He's alive. And guess what? You need to be alive in Christ. But there's no resurrection. You're still in your sin. But I thought he shed his blood. Well, he didn't. But how do you come in contact with that? You're buried. You're covered. And then you rise up. Because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. Everything's because of him. So you're not earning your salvation, of course. We know all about that. But it's because of what Christ did for us makes it possible. So when people tell you, well, really, is the resurrection really that important? Absolutely. We'll never minimize it. Somebody talks about, well, what about Easter? Hold that thought. Hold that thought. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Okay. But what else then? Okay. Well, really, that should cover it, right? I mean, it would destroy the validity of the scriptures, that he's not reigning, okay? He didn't live, and that we're still in our sins. We can't be in him where all the spiritual blessings are found. That says about all of it. But we know there's one more, right? Acts 1. Let's go back to that. Acts chapter 1. Verse 9. Now when they spoke these things, while they watched, he, that's Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So if there's no resurrection, guess what? There's no second coming. Jesus can't come back. How can you come back if you haven't left? He's left. He's gone. He went back up into heaven. We've already read those passages where he's ruling and reigning. That was kind of the climax of the sermon in Acts chapter 2, is just before they wanted to know what they needed to do, we had Peter say to the audience there, he said in verse 36, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He made him Lord in Christ. He's not still in the tomb. He resurrected. Now, he resurrected, and then he ascended back into heaven, and then there's this promise that he's coming back. What promise? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why hasn't the Lord come back yet? I mean, things are pretty bad, aren't they, in this world? I don't think they're as bad as they've been in times past. People say, oh, Chuck, are you kidding me? Do you know what goes on in this world with all the drugs and everything? I told you guys before, have you read anything about the Roman Empire? Do you know anything about the immorality that went on in the past? I mean, it's just been some terrible times. But the passage I just quoted there from 2 Peter, it gives us the answer why the Lord hasn't come back yet. He's not willing that any should perish, but he will come back. And you and I need to be ready. And we know he's coming back. Why? Because he resurrected. You take that resurrection out of the way, and then you're like, you're stuck. Like, well, then he's not coming back. And he is, and we need to be prepared. And that was the comfort that he gave. I'll just read one more verse on this one. And that was over in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he tells us in verse 16, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We need to be prepared for when Christ comes back. When's he coming back? I don't know. I don't know when he's coming back. But I know he's coming back. And that's why we continue to remember this event. As Tim was mentioning, every first day of the week, we come together. That passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 went on to talk about how that we continue to do this until the Lord comes back. Let me just quickly remind you of. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read this passage often when we come around the table. But Paul talks about the need for to take these emblems on a weekly basis to remember. But it was verse 26 that ties in some of the things we've been talking about this morning. For as oft as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. How long are we going to keep this up? How long are we going to keep this up? Remembering the Lord's death. How long? Till he comes. We're going to keep it. I mean, we're going to do this next Sunday. What about the Sunday after that? And the Sunday after that? If the Lord is near, if I had a calendar, if I had a 10-year calendar, and if I'm still alive, and I picked a Sunday, you're going to take the Lord's Supper then? Why? If the Lord hasn't come, we're going to continue to proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, which means he's not dead. Yes, he died, but he's not dead. And he's coming. If there's no resurrection of the dead, there's no second coming. Now, having said all of that, which is powerful for all of us to be thinking about, I want us to talk just briefly for just a moment. What about Easter? What about Easter? Are you guys going to celebrate Easter next week? Well, let's keep it in line with the sermon. Okay, let's keep it in line with the sermon. What if there's no resurrection of the dead? You might think, there's no resurrection of the dead. There goes Easter. There's no Easter. Because Easter's about the resurrection. But, no. You see, if there's no resurrection of the dead, seriously, you want to take it with the Bible and you want to preach all the Bible except the part about the resurrection. You say, well, if there's no resurrection, there's no Easter. No, because there never was one. What are you saying? There wasn't a resurrection? No, that's not what I said. I said there was no Easter. Easter was made by man, created by man for man. That's a yearly celebration that the religious realm comes up. You see, that's why I didn't start out by talking about that, because if you start out talking about that, it makes it sound like, well, you don't really value the resurrection, do you? Did you hear the sermon? Do we need the resurrection? Absolutely. I mean, we're still in our sand. Christ wouldn't be reigning. We'd have no hope. We'd still, and he wouldn't be coming back. Oh, no, it's very important to us. And we preach on the resurrection. So we said all that to say that, okay, even though we preach on the resurrection, as Tim mentioned around here, it's not once a year. It's not once a year. They have that celebration. Now, I don't want to preach that lesson because I have done that in the past. Well, Chuck, where did it come from? Where did Easter come from? Well, just, folks, you got the internet. You know, everything on the internet is true. But I mean, you can Google Easter, and you can go back and just trace it, folks. And how that you can find that there was a religious group that found out that there were these people who worshipped the sun gods. They caught up in idolatry. And they figured, since they had these celebrations and represented something similar to that, the goddess of fertility, I mean, where do you think the concept of bunnies came from? That's where it all came from. It's all connected within that. But they thought, if we take their quote religious holiday in these pagan religion, in this pagan religion, if we'll take this heathen holiday and make a religious Christian holiday, we might be able to convert some of those people and say, well, so you're going to kind of keep the same feast day. It'll be kind of similar, but we're just going to focus on the resurrection rather than on your paganism ideas. And I'm thinking, well, you just went from the frying pan right into the fire. Because what they were doing is non-biblical. And what you're doing is non-biblical. Oh, yes, you have a biblical concept, of course. And if you guys, from the past, if you remember this, because if you do, good for you. Because I used an illustration, it's been a couple of years ago, and if you remember it, great. But I compared it to the idea of, you can read in the Bible when Jesus was baptized. Right? John baptized. Well, let's have a Baptizo Day. What'd you say? We're going to have Baptizo Day. Well, you get off doing that. Well, we, the church here, have decided once a year we're going to have Baptizo Day that represents the day Jesus was baptized. And you go like, you're off your nut. That's what they did. In the beginning, they couldn't say, well, we've always done it. No, every tradition had a beginning. And so when it started, you can't say, well, we've always had Easter. No, no, we've had Easter. It wasn't in here. Okay. And it was started by a man. And it doesn't matter what pure motives you may have had, it's not biblical. But I just don't want us to get a bad reputation by people thinking that we don't care about the resurrection. Because we do. And we value it very much. Very much. And we want you to. We want you to see the importance of the resurrected Christ. And so as we're closing down, I want to ask you a question. Since Jesus did resurrect, have you benefited from that? What do you mean? Didn't he die for everybody?
Yeah.
Well, then he must have resurrected for everybody. True. Okay, true. Have you received the benefits of that? How? Well, have you been baptized into Christ, and have you risen up in newness of life?
Yeah.
Good for you. Have you been living faithfully, looking forward to the coming of our Lord? Remember, it's all about preparing, being prepared when the Lord comes back. Because if we haven't been faithful to the Lord, then his resurrection hasn't helped you a lick. You need to be restored, as James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 says. You need to come back, cover a multitude of sins, live faithfully till death. That's the key. Have the knowledge, folks. Because with true knowledge comes true appreciation. And people might think, well, Chuck, ours is special because we do it once a year. I mean, it just doesn't get much more special than that, Chuck. Because we remember the death of Jesus once a year. Well, can you get much more special than doing it every time the Lord asks you to do it? It doesn't get much more special than that. And how often do you pray? Well, let's just pray once a year and make it special. No. Let's just sing once a year and make it special. No. It's special every time we do it, folks. Because it comes from the heart. That's worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It's not only having our heart in it, but having the truth behind it. And I hope that you guys always understand the importance of the two of them together, always. Because people can be sincere, but they can be sincerely wrong. And sometimes people can have the truth, but their heart is just far from it. So let's just make sure that we're doing what pleases the Lord. Evaluating the fact that Jesus did come, he died, and guess what? He resurrected. Folks, have you? Have you resurrected? That's what we read there in Romans chapter 6. You have to rise up in newness of life. You're subject to the invitation. You can do it today. We'll help assist you in becoming right with God. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you can be restored today. If you're subject in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song of Amen.
If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if his care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it if the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If the grace of the Savior has brought its reward, if the strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, if the hope of a rest in his palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If the souls all around you are living in sin, if the Master has told you to bid them come in, if the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheering word? Oh, will you not tell His presence has brightened your way. Oh, will you not tell it today?
Is there any other announcements that need to be made at this time before we're dismissed?
Do not turn your radio on at 2. We're not on today. We're preempted by Beth. Point is, we're not going to be on today.
Is there any others that need to be made? Like Chuck said, we have a full house and it's exciting and encouraging, even with our own members gone. Another outstanding and excellent lesson. And we're looking, and I hope that we're all looking forward to, again, worshiping God at 4 o'clock this afternoon. If there's no other announcements, then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, thankful for this opportunity we've had, Lord, to come together and to worship you, and worship you in spirit and in truth. We are truly a blessed people, Lord. We're thankful to you, Father. We're thankful for your grace and your mercy, and especially thankful that you've given your grace and mercy to us as sinners, undeserving of that, that you've blessed us. The Heavenly Father, we pray for those of our number mentioned who are not well. We pray for those of our number who are on the road to travel. The Heavenly Father, we pray for the loss of this world. We pray that each of us as individuals can do what we can, Lord, if nothing more than just being an example to live our lives the best we can to others, Lord, to encourage them, to bring them to your way, Lord, to your life. My dear Heavenly Father, as we prepare to depart this place, we pray that we'll always be a peculiar, special people, always concerned and dedicated to you and your work, Heavenly Father. And we're thankful for your Son and our Savior, who is willing to come to this earth and take on the flesh of a man, to teach us that his way, Lord, and your way, and to be willing to make that perfect sacrifice on that cross for us sinners. Each and every one. Now we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
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 Thank you for.
Thank you, Mark.
Oh, you got it, did you?
I got the message.
Oh, I'm telling you.
We're going to be giving you the games. We haven't had time to go through the box. We're going to this afternoon. We're also going to let you borrow a movie.